This morning's text commences a section of writings on the nature of faith. In this letter to the Hebrews, the anonymous writer deals with the question of what faith is, what assurances accompany faith, and how one lives in light of faith. Reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 to 3 and 8 to 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him to the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered himself faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
O Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, the source of our love, and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. What do you think would be the deepest fear in all of church? Just imagine for a moment that the church was one entity, one organism, to use the Apostle Paul's image, the body of Christ. We were all one body, united together. We were one organism. What would be the one deepest fear of church? Well, as you ponder that question, I'll give you a few suggestions of what I don't think the answer is. The deepest fear in the church is not about money. It's not about bums in the chairs or the pews, the numbers these days, as important as all of those considerations are. The deepest fear is not about us being too political or lacking thereof. The deepest fear is not about us being too liberal or too conservative or any label that we label as negative. Deepest fear in the church today is that we will lack faith. The deepest fear in the church today surrounds the essence of faith, that we will not be centered on the core of faith. You see, faith is the core, the center of all that we are. And when you think about all religious communities since the beginning of time, faith has been the center of what they have been about. It's what motivated them, it's what drove them, it's what united them. In fact, every world religion, what unites that world religion is faith. faith unites us. It grounds us. It informs all that we do and all that we are. Now, we might love Northwood. We might have joined in the celebrations of our anniversary this past year. We might love all the people that makes Northwood a church. We might love the way that faith grounds us, but faith grounds us, faith brings us together, faith makes us who we truly are. Faith allows us to live, to move, and to have our being in God. To use that lovely children's analogy that we all know so well, you know, this is the church and this is the steeple. You know, remember doing that when you were a kid? Open the doors and see. What you really see is all the faith of the people, the expressions of all of the faith, the way it's lived out in all the ministry, all the programs, all the thing the church does. It's not just the people, it's their expressions of faith. Faith is what we practice. Faith is what we grow. Everything is an extension. Everything is an expression of faith. Now, I don't want to say it this too much, to take this too far, but if church was a business, we are in the faith business. We're about. We love community. We love community and fellowship, but that's not our primary core, is it? We love service and outreach and caring. We love laughter and love. We love buildings and stained glass, perhaps. But when you boil it all down, what we're truly all about, what informs all of those expressions, is our faith. We are a community founded upon faith. Paul puts it this way. Paul, throughout various points in his letter, talks about faith this way. He says, by God's grace, through faith, we are saved. It's faith that allows us to have that deep, enduring relationship with God. Faith is that core essence of what we are as a community. It follows from that our identity that allows us to understand who we are as children of God truly is about our faith. Purpose of our community. We are a community of faith. We embrace, share, we live faith. That is really, truly the core of what we are about. Jesus talked about his fear of lack of faith throughout many of the Gospels, and one of the ones that just came to mind immediately when I think about faith was in Luke, and he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So as we begin our exploration about faith, what I'd like to talk about this morning, first of all, is a definition. Because I think so often we talk about faith, we talk about a community of faith, but what is this thing called faith? Think about what this truly is, and if we can walk out the doors this morning with a deeper understanding of what faith is and how we live and grow and how we share it, we probably have done a good job then, I think. So, a few questions. Is faith that something that only comes from God? Or is faith something that we bring to the table as well? Is there such a thing as blind faith? Faith that just comes? Or is faith something that needs encouragement and nurture, sharing, something that we all do and take part in? Now, our conversation partner today and over the next few weeks is going to be the letter to the Hebrews. Some of you will know that each week the readings are selected usually from one or several of the readings from the Revised Common Lectionary. There's a 3-year cycle of readings that most churches across the globe will select from these 4 readings. It allows us to have a good dialogue among other churches across the globe. It allows the Spirit to kind of work. It allows us to not just focus on the minister's favorite gospel or something of that nature. It allows the Word, the living Word in Scripture, to speak as we look at various points of Scripture throughout those 3 years. And as I was looking for the lections for August, I was fascinated this year thinking about our summer activities, thinking about this focus on the letter to the Hebrews, focus on faith. Now, given that we don't spend a lot of time quite often on the letter to the Hebrews, I thought we should probably give a little bit of background to this unique letter. We don't spend a lot of time. It's located near the very end of the Bible. If we look up, we open it up, and it comes towards the end of many of Paul's epistles, some of his letters. Well, what's interesting, first of all, is that the letter to the Hebrews is generally understood as not to be coming from Paul. In fact, scholars don't really exactly agree. They generally don't agree who the author is. Generally an unknown author. But what they do know about this letter is it's very clear about who the letter is written to. The audience is quite obvious when we certainly look at the title and when we listen to all of the writings. Letter are people that have faith in God through that sense of the Hebrew people. These are people that have lived the Hebrew stories of liberation. This one here is talking about the journey of Abraham and Sarah as examples of true examples of faith for them. So these are people that really understand the liberation that came for the Hebrew people through God. I think one of the challenges that when we read this particular letter, every letter has its own unique challenges that we need to get into their mindset. The challenge for this letter is for us to kind of leave this first century world, this privileged lifestyle that we have to live in today, to get into the world that they lived. Some of the people that were reading this letter that have heard these words were living in prison as a result of their faith. Some of the people hearing these words in this letter had their possessions, they're gone into their homes and had them plundered. Their favorite possessions were stolen, taken away as a result of their faith. All of the people that were listening to this letter lived with senses of hostility from the community towards them, ridicule and shame, all because of the faith they had in a crucified Savior. Well, imagine if we can a little bit about what it would be like if your faith put you at odds with the surrounding culture. Imagine even more so if your faith put you at odds with members of your own family. Imagine what it would be like if your faith put you at odds with achieving comfort and the basic needs that you wanted to provide for your very own family. If we can begin to get inside some of those considerations, that is what it would have been like, perhaps, for the Hebrew people listening to this letter, having faith at such a time as they had. So what is faith? Well, in this letter, faith is this. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We unpack this definition a little bit. We first realize that it is very, as we know already, faith is a very multi-layered, complex thing, isn't it? Faith is not simple. It's not just about blind belief, then or now. Faith is about assurance in the first half of that definition. Assurance is about that gift, that unconditional gift of God's love is about faith, coming to each and every one of us. Yet faith doesn't stop there. It's not just coming down from God, given unto us. Faith is almost, it's not a kind of a passive download that we kind of download something into our computer. Faith is also our human response to that gift of faith, our human response of trust, as we learned with Lucas here this morning in our story, that human response of gratitude. Something later we're going to explore is really the way we express our faith, the way we live our faith, the kind of ethical dimensions of love and justice and care. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. There's an interesting play in words here. Assurance in the Greek is a Greek word called hypostasis, and it's a kind of a complex word, and it's one that I think we can relate to. It's a confidence in things that we can't verify and we can't confirm. I remember when I was an undergraduate student in university, and I was in philosophy. One of the things they did every year was the philosophy department at Simon Fraser University would have a battle with the religious department to prove that there wasn't a God. Assurance that things are there. It's that assurance that things are hoped for. We can't prove it. And that was always what it came down to at the end. We can't prove God's presence, but we know God is there. We have faith. Assurance is that confidence in things that can't be verified or confirmed, yet we know that they truly are there. It's a confidence and assurance in an outcome that we know will come. That outcome might come tomorrow, or it might come in many, many tomorrows. But we know that God's outcome, God's way, God's will, God's kingdom will come one day. It's that deep feeling in our bones that we have confidence and we know that God's wishes indeed will come. The second part of faith that we read about here in this definition is about the anticipation that we have in the outcome. And it's also more than just anticipating the outcome. It's almost a kind of participation in the outcome. Now, I want to be clear that this is not about us causing the event to happen in faith. But it's also more than just a passive hoping that things will come. With faith, we have kind of an anticipation, a kind of participation, a partnership, a sacred partnership with God in God's will finally coming one day. We think about Abraham thinking with that tremendous faith that indeed he would reach the promised land. He never reached the promised land, but he had the faith to know that his generations would continue and that one day they would populate the promised land. That participation in knowing that indeed God's will unfold, that we indeed anticipate and participate. We're sacred partners with God in the unfolding of God's kingdom. Finally, faith gives us a new way of seeing, a new way of vision. I know it kind of says the opposite in the second half of the definition about a conviction of things not seen. But with the eyes of faith, we see in a new way. We perceive in the ways of Jesus. We perceive in the ways of compassion and care and hope and love. We see in ways of faith. We understand that we are created in the image of God. That we understand that we are indeed part of the body of Christ. That indeed we are partners with God's will. And this world might teach us as much as the accumulations of money and power and wealth might be our identity. We see with eyes of faith, knowing that indeed that is not who we are. At core, we are partners with God in God's unfolding of love and care. Faith, we see the eyes of Christ. Find with faith one of the challenging things. It's such an esoteric kind of thing really for us to get at, isn't it? How do you describe faith to a child? How do you describe faith to anyone, really? So I think what we might find helpful would be a bit of an illustration. So if I can, I'd like to do a little show and tell. This is something all the way, and I think it's the next slide up there if we can. I'm going to show a little show and tell about my holidays. Did she put it up there? That's me up there on the left on holidays with my two favorite partners in a race we went on called the Rugged Maniac. So we're sliding down a 30-foot slide at the end of a race with my children and a team of friends from my gym that I like to work out with. And I'll tell you a little bit about the race, a little bit of backstory. So it's a 5-kilometer race. It happened in Cloverdale here. And then throughout the running of the running portion, you go through 25 different obstacles. You climb up ladders, you climb through mud pits, all kinds of interesting things you get to do. They call it recess for children, or for adults, what they call it. And there were about 20 of us that got to do this. And this is the final obstacle. It's a 30-foot slide. As you can see, we're pretty dirty and muddy at the end of our race. And we're sliding down to the very end of the finish line. Now, what this picture doesn't show you is how you get to the final obstacle. And if we can just go to the next slide, Jay, I'll show you. This is the final obstacle. And this is called the warped wall. So the warped wall, where you can see where it says State Farm on it, is about 13 feet tall. And then after that, you climb up a rope ladder to the top of the slide, and then the other side of it is the slide. So you saw that earlier. Now, what faith is about was about trust. And this part here, the only way to be successful, you find out, is by running at full speed. And as you can see, it doesn't show it super well here with the lighting we have. And at full speed, you run, you go up the little curve, and then you jump as high as you can, and the people at the top of the wall catch you. And they pull you up to the top, right? You can't get to the top of the warped wall without trusting, without having faith in the catcher that will catch you and pull you up. Faith, as we learned with the children this morning, all about trust. It's about trusting and knowing that God will be there for you. It's about trusting and knowing that the gifts that God has given us, those gifts will always be with us as well. As you can see, with faith, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg this morning. Talking this morning about what faith is and really articulating for each and every one of us what faith truly means for us at our unique stage in the journey of life. We're going to talk a little bit in the future weeks about what faith is not. We're going to talk about how faith might surprise us in our life and in our journey, and how faith might inform our living, our loving, and our serving. This morning, we give thanks for this thing called faith, the thing that God has given unto us, this thing that grows, this thing that we share, this thing that really is a core part that uniting us in the world today. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Thanks be to God for faith.